Here's a card I meant to read earlier. Pastor Fellowship, or Pastor Pryor and Fellowship Baptist Church, thank you for letting us present the ministry to you. It has been an enormous blessing and encouragement to see your love for the Lord and for missions. We are very grateful for the good care we receive from you and delicious food and wonderful fellowship. May the Lord bless you richly and continue to use you for his glory, love in Christ. Daniel and Ruth Norwood. Amen. And it was great to have the Norwoods with us there from Spain, doing a great work over there. Already started, going to continue to do more about the plant, another church, working with national pastors over there. Luke chapter 15, I was in this text, honestly, just a few days ago, reading through the Bible, and something caught me, never really caught my mind before, my heart before, but in this context, in this scripture, we find that Jesus, he's teaching, he's preaching, and he gets through three parables. And Luke chapter 15 is probably famously known, if you've been in church for a length of time, for the prodigal son.
Yes, sir.
And I'm so thankful that when the son came back, the father didn't say, go away. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ doesn't put an end on you. He will take you back. And listen to me. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to hear me say this. You are no farther than one step away from getting back to the Father. Okay? Repentance is simply turning around. It's not making a long trip. It's not getting some things figured out in your life. And the way Brother Billy Mitchell would say it, I know I repented because I'm still repenting. And if you're a Christian this morning, listen to me. If you're a Christian this morning and you've never had a what we would call come to Jesus meeting in reality with the Lord and yourself, or you've taken a look at your life and saw where you were and saw if maybe you need to get closer to God in the recent past, you need to make that happen this morning. Because if you're not careful, your flesh will take over. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're perfect.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be saved, but I'm not better because I'm saved. I'm better off because I met the one who could save me, okay? Luke chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2 is where we'll spend most of our time, but I want to read the whole chapter. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man, boy, this is good. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, which is always a good moment when you're walking through this life, is to realize where you really are. I said it this morning in Sunday school, and I'd say it again today. We can all come into church this morning and act super spiritual like we've got it all figured out, or we can just come to ourselves and get some help from God. Amen. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. You don't have a long way back to God. Just turn around. If you will turn towards him, he will close the gap. He just needs someone willing. The day I got saved, I don't believe I got saved when I made it to the altar. I fully believe I got saved the moment I stood up in my pew. I realized I was a sinner. I got right with God and turned towards him as my Savior. I believed he would save me before I even made it down here. And I believe that night I got born again into the family of God, not because I was smart, not because I'm a theologian, not because I came from the right family, but because I turned to the Savior and he closed the gap. Amen. You can't get to him. He has to come to you. There is nobody in this room who can explain to me how to get to heaven without through the blood of Jesus Christ. He had to come to where we are. He was born of a virgin in a stable and became low as someone and as innocent as someone could be. He put his trust in the hands of a young couple to raise him in this world. And then he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. He lived a perfect life in this flesh. Listen to me. Jesus dealt with the same struggles that you're dealing with. Yet without sin. Hard to even fathom. And he didn't sin one time. And he lived on this earth perfectly. And he gave his life. And he died. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. That's what the Bible says. He's the one that came to you. He's the one that closed the gap. And these parables, he's the one looking for the sheep. In these parables, he's the one looking for the coin. In this parable, he's the one standing at the door and sees the son returning home a great ways off. Look what he does. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. In these texts, I know then we begin to verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We know the chapter closes out with the older brother not liking what was going on, but go back with me at the beginning of the chapter because I find some other people who didn't like what was going on. Right. Chapter number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Some things I want to see about our Savior this morning. These are all simple, but they'll be a blessing to you. I'm glad that our God is approachable. I'm glad that our God's not somebody who says, you got to know enough about the Bible for you're worthy to come speak to me. I'm glad that you can walk through those doors back there and hear from God, and you don't have to fill out a background check. You don't have to get your credit score checked. He don't have to check out your lineage and see where you came from. He said all the publicans, all the sinners. We're talking about publicans, men who were mentioned in the same breath as harlots just a few chapters before. We're talking about wicked, vile sinners. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. Ain't that amazing? One chapter he's eating with the most religious folks you could eat with. In the next chapter he's eating with the publicans. But hear me this morning, in both chapters he's eating with sinners. Amen. There was no man perfect. In fact, as the publicans and the sinners approached him, why did they come to him? Look at verse 1, chapter 15. They came to him, just wanted to hear him. What does God have to say to me? I hope this morning you woke up and you came to church. I was thinking last night, what's the purpose of what we're doing tomorrow? I think you should ask that sometimes. Why am I waking up and I'm getting dressed and I'm going to some place and sitting down and singing music and going to Sunday school and sitting in a service at 11 o'clock? Why? Just because I want to hear from Him. That's why. I came just to hear what God might say, what God could say through His Word. And these publicans and these sinners, they came just because they wanted to hear from Him. But here stands the religious folks. Do you not see that he's... Do you see that that church accepts that person? Do you know they let that person sing in their choir? It makes me think of that Pharisee there standing in the temple saying, Lord, thank you for not making me like him. Church, this is a room full of sinners. And if you think that you're better than somebody else in this room, you need to get right with God this morning. Okay? And if you're here this morning, you're visiting us, I want you to hear me say this. This is not a room full of people that's got it figured out. This is not a room full of super spiritual people. This is a room full of sinners that have met the Savior. And all we want is for everybody, 8 billion people on the planet, to know that God died just for them. And just like He looked for that one sheep, He's looking just for you. And just like He looked for that one coin, He's looking for you. And just like He was looking off for that one son, He's looking for you. Amen. He's approachable. They came to hear from Him. They had a purpose. He's just approachable. He's impartial. Look at it, all the publicans, all the sinners, and here come the Pharisees. He's got quite the array of people going on here. I'm so glad that you don't have to speak English to get saved. By the way, Jesus didn't speak English. He's not some blonde-headed white guy speaking English. I don't care how they draw him. He was in the Middle East. He was in Jerusalem. He was in Nazareth. He was in Bethlehem. He spoke Hebrew. He didn't speak what we speak. Aren't you glad that God, although Jesus in the flesh did not exactly speak the language that we speak, He still got the words from Jesus right here to us in the language that we speak. He's impartial. God doesn't care what country you live in. He died for you. God, listen to me. The sins you've done didn't make it where you're not invited. Look what the Bible says. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners. You know, murderers were invited. Liars were invited. Fornicators were invited. Listen, we're in a day and time now in America where we think we are so good that we've set tiers on things and we're going, well, God can save that one, but I'm not sure if He can save that one. Listen, all the sinners and all the publicans were invited. He's impartial. He's eating at the chief Pharisee's house. He's breaking bread with the sinners and the publicans. Because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came with a purpose. And although the Pharisees, they meant it as a negative connotation, although they were looking down at God and trying to say something bad about Him, boy, I am so thankful for verse 2. I can't get past it. The Pharisees looked and said, this man receiveth sinners. Boy, aren't you glad? What if God said, you have to be perfect before you can come to me? Church, honestly, if we had to be perfect before we came in this building, it would be vacant. If we had to be perfect before we got in our prayer closet, you'd never make it. If we had everything worked out and make sure all the boxes are checked and everything's taken care of before we read our Bible, wouldn't none of us know what it said? And I've heard this all. I went to church the first time for the wrong reason. What's the right reason the first time?
Right.
Until somebody stop throwing standards on someone who doesn't have the Savior. Right. Amen. Right. I believe in biblical standards, but I believe you've got to know the one who wrote the Bible to have them. Yes. Amen. And this man receiveth sinners. Now, some things that I find throughout all three of these parables we just read. Now remember, let's recap. The first parable is talking about a man who has 100 sheep. And one goes astray. And he goes looking for it. I do not believe this morning that God's throwing some line out in the water like fishing, looking in Fellowship Baptist Church saying, boy, I hope I catch somebody. I think this morning God's come to the church and said, I want to speak to Brother Dalton's heart. I want to speak to Miss Jessica's heart. I want to speak to Brother Britt's heart. I do not believe that God's come in and said, well, maybe. God's so much bigger than that. I don't know how many people are here this morning, but that's how many messages God's preaching right now. And he came and he looked for that sheep. This woman was in her house, and she had lost a piece of silver. And she said, I've got nine, I need one more. I'm going to turn this house upside down until I find that one. Notice he didn't say, the sheep's went too far, I'm not going any farther. You hearing me? We preach a lot of things that ain't in that Bible. Notice he didn't say, that's not my favorite sheep, so I'm not going after that sheep. Notice he didn't say, that's my favorite sheep, so I'm going after that sheep. Notice he didn't say, that sheep has went into a field that I no longer step into. He came to find the sheep. She went to find the piece of silver. And the father standing at the door, no doubt, looking for the son. Something we have to understand about our Savior is he comes to us with purpose. He is specifically looking for you. Listen to me this morning. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you. He said, pray without ceasing. He said, please talk to me. You say, maybe I shouldn't burden God with this thing. I know he's got a lot of big things going on. But last time I checked, our Savior said, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he careth for you. He wants you. He went looking for that sheep. He wanted that sheep. It was not an accident. It was not just some happenstance that they crossed paths. There was a purpose behind the meeting. Just like over there, I believe it's John chapter 4, where he tells the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And the men are in town. They're trying to get bread and some. They're out there going through the drive-thru at Wendy's and trying to get a burger and a frosty and everything else. And Jesus is out there by the well. Why? He had an appointment settled. There was a woman that nobody else would speak to. There was a woman that was not invited, but she could approach this man. There was a woman that no other Jewish man would speak with. She was a Samaritan, and she come out at a separate time from the other women. She lived a wicked lifestyle. She had multiple husbands, and everybody looked down on her, but not Jesus. Jesus made a purpose. He had a point. He had a path crossed, and he came just to meet her. Isn't it amazing that God takes Philip? Philip's preaching, and there's a big revival going on, and he says, I need you to go out to the wilderness. Can you imagine that? Why? Because I got one man out there I need to go talk to. I'm against these guys that need so many people to show up and speak. That's not how Jesus was. Jesus came to that well to find that woman. Jesus sent Philip to find that Ethiopian eunuch. And while I'm on that, because I know the part of the world that we're in, it was an Ethiopian man. Amen. God has no room for racism. God has no room for people not being impartial. He died for all. And he sent Philip after that one man. And that one man got born again because he was looking for him. Don't you let the devil make you think you're a second-class citizen. Don't you take a step back and say, I've done too much. I've gone too far. God can't listen to me. This morning, he came and he wants to deal with you. Not only is he looking for them, but when he finds them, he doesn't leave them where they are. Ain't that amazing? Don't you believe for one second that my Savior would save you from your sins and leave you in a wicked life of sin? This sheep was lost. What does Jesus do? And when he hath found it, look at verse 5, he layeth it on his shoulders. I'm going to pick him up. Rejoicing. Jesus isn't upset that he brought you up out of that dark pit. He's rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he's just bringing him home. That woman's turning the house over looking for that coin. She can't find it anywhere, everything. When she finally finds it, she reaches down and she picks it up. How many of y'all been looking for something in the house that you needed And when you find it, you just say, okay, I'll just leave it right there. When she found it in a spot it shouldn't be in, she reached down, she picked it up, and she put it where it should be. When the son came home, what does the father say about him? He said, look, I've come to myself. My father's servants have more food than I do, and I'm no longer worthy to be a son. And so I'm just going to go back, and I'm going to be an underling. And boy, don't we do that to ourselves? Listen to me. Stop holding yourself accountable for something God's already forgiven you for. Amen. What sins are you talking about? He said, I don't remember them anymore. He forgot them. They're gone. Our sins are not like they were in the Old Testament where they had to come back year after year after year and give sacrifices. And it was just like they were covering that thing up. It'd be like me taking a big old blanket and throwing it over all this stuff right here where you can't necessarily see it, but you can still see the outline of it. No, when Jesus deals with sin, he wipes it. It'd be gone. It ain't coming back. It's gone. And when that son comes running to the father sees him afar off, and the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can you imagine how he smelled? You ever thought about that? He hadn't already taken a bath and got everything fixed up? Look what dad said. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. He didn't say, here, figure this out. Nowhere in any of these parables does God look at the analogy, the individual, and say, okay, coin, get up here. Like, I know that seems kind of, but you need to work some things out before I pick you up. He doesn't look at the sheep and say, you got yourself in this mess. You better figure out how to get back home. He picks the sheep up. He didn't look at the son and say, you took all your inheritance, you're done. No, he said, listen, you find a robe, not just a robe, the best robe. And you bring the best robe and you put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Aren't you glad that not only does our Savior look for us, but when He finds us, He does not leave us in the state in which He found us? Lastly, in this, listen to me, this is important. I never forget the night that I got saved. 18 people got saved. And I can't stand still. I'm excited this morning. 18 people got saved. I was the last one to walk down. Because I started thinking, well, if I admit I'm a sinner, everybody in here is going to judge me. Let's just get that out of the way. Everybody in here is a sinner. Let's just go ahead and... Well, they're going to know I'm not perfect. We already know. And if you're married, your spouse really knows. I started getting all these things in my head like I'll have to lose all my friends. That ain't true. Well, if I do this, I won't get to do anything that I enjoy. I'm telling you, serving God's the funnest life I've ever had in my life. And all these things started coming to my head of, well, I'm teaching Sunday. Remember, I was teaching Sunday school, lost. What are they going to think? Well, what they should think is, thank God the guy teaching saved now. Right? What they should think. Thank God the guy teaching actually knows who he's teaching about. But all these things were going through my head. And don't you know that I do not think it was the first time he thought about admitting he was wrong going back home when he came to himself. I think he thought about it many times, but he'd never really come to himself realizing, I'll get accepted back if I go back. You think he was eating slop enjoying it? No doubt there are times in your life when you know you need to get back to God. And let me be clear about this. The parable of the prodigal son is not about a lost individual. He's already the son. The only way you're a child of God is by being born again into the family of God.
He's already saved, but he's living out in the world, and he feels like, I can't get back. But yes, he can. The Father was looking for him in every single situation. The Father picked him up and brought him out of the mess they were in every single situation. And there was rejoicing when they came back home in every single situation. Boy, if you just turned to God, there'd be rejoicing. If you quit fighting and give in to him and say, here am I, God, everything I got's yours, whether you need to be saved, you've never been born again, getting birthed in the family of God, it's an exciting thing when a baby's born, ain't it? Especially for everybody except for the mom and dad, because they have no idea what they're about to get into. Right? It's exciting. When somebody gets born again, it's exciting. But not just us. This thing's so much bigger than us. Look with me. Look at this. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in, where? Heaven. Over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me make this clear, church. This morning, there may be shouting in here, which I'm all about that. It's going to be loud in heaven. You better get used to it. There's going to be singing. There's going to be a lot of singing in heaven. You better get used to it. There's preaching. The Bible ordains it. It's a great thing. I'm all about that. But I would much rather hear rejoicing in heaven today than rejoicing in Fellowship Baptist Church. But I want you to hear me say this. And you say, I got the Joel Haynes fever this morning. If you don't know this, we've got two rules on preaching. The first one is I'm preaching to you. If you just give in to God, there'd be rejoicing in the church and there'd be rejoicing in heaven. I don't know why we get in our minds that if I get right with God, people are going to look down on me. Are you more concerned about what people say than what Jesus knows? Let me tell you what, the Bible says if we sit here and we all walk out just, no rejoicing. But if one person said, I really need to get back to God. Do you understand that he's already looking for you? Do you understand that he says, you ain't got to work this out. Come to me, I'll bring you out. Do you understand that he just let us know there's rejoicing in heaven? Why? Because this man receiveth sinners. Does that excite you? Where are you at with God? Think about it. Are you saved? The most important question you can ever deal with in your life is if you died right now, then what? Right? Because rest assured, according to this Bible, there's a thing known as eternity. And this Bible tells me there's one of two places you're going to be. And if you go through Jesus, heaven's a place. And if you go through any other avenue outside of Jesus, hell's that place. Now let's be clear. God's not sending you there. You're rejecting him and going there. It was not prepared for you. The Bible's very clear that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. You're not invited. It's enlarging itself because it wasn't built for you. Right? Do you know where you'll be? Because the only way you'll know where you'll be for sure is by believing what this Bible says. And here's what my Bible says. If you realize you're a sinner and you come to this man Jesus, he receives you. He'll forgive you of your sin. Are you saved? Do you know that? But boy, there might be someone here this morning who says, I know I'm saved, but it's like I don't even have a relationship with God at all. It's like I've been in a far country. It's like I've been detached from the rest of the group. You know, 100 sheep really ain't in that much danger, but one sheep all by itself is in a lot of danger. Maybe you feel like I've been somewhere in the far country. I've been somewhere in the wrong pasture. I've been hid under something. Listen to me. God came this morning looking for you. Would you take one step? He'll close it. The moment he sees you on your way home, he's going to run to you and close the gap.
Nathan, would you play one verse on the piano? And this is how we'll end the service this morning, if you'd stand to your feet. If God has dealt with your heart this morning about something, every head's bowed, eyes are closed, this is between you.